Hey, ladies and gentlemen, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And a very interesting episode of Juan Epstein because of what's going on behind the scenes, which you know us, Syph and I always let you know what's going on behind the scenes. So either by the end of this episode or by the next episode, we will have filled you in on the weirdness that is today. But let's start like this. First of all, my friend Quartermain is here.
Check one, too.
My original FM radio co-host.
Feels good to be in New York again, Pete.
Yeah, you're back. And you're And you're an avid Juan Epstein listener.
From day one.
So he's here to hang out. But then I actually threw him on the mic to help fill in because Syph is in some doomsday meeting at the radio station that I don't understand. But we had to keep things moving because when I saw that I'd have the opportunity to talk to No ID, I was like, this has to happen. I don't care what else is happening in the world. We're talking to No ID. So No ID, welcome to Juan Epstein. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, man.
This is a man.
Nice.
I got to tell you, I get very excited about No ID just for the fact that when I told people you were coming up, and everyone who I mentioned to in the building was like, oh, to think about that alone to me is amazing because 10 years ago, if I had told people No ID was coming up, the average person who works in this building might have been like, who's No ID? They would have literally thought you had no ID. They might not have known. So right. it's a tremendous thing and speaks to your work at your whole career, but particularly the last decade or so, to have gotten to this spot where people really appreciate what you've done.
Yeah.
Have you noticed the transition? I mean, it was gradual, right?
Yeah. I appreciate that too. I definitely noticed it, but it was a lot of conscious effort that went into, you know, deciding not to be an underground guy. You know what I mean? And to be honest, I give a lot of credit to Kanye and me watching, you know, some of the tools I helped give him and him take it to the mainstream and keep it pure. It kind of motivated me to even go in other directions, you know what I mean, and just try and take what I do to a bigger place, but still keep it, you know, in the pocket like I do.
So the student ended up helping the teacher.
It goes in a cycle. We help each other.
Steel sharpens steel.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So where does this story begin, man? I mean, you know, the first time I obviously heard of you was with Common Sense. Mm-hmm. That was the beginning.
Yeah.
Take us before that, though. Where does the No ID hip hop story begin?
Wow. Well, actually, me and Common were in a rap group when we were in high school. You know, we were like lifelong friends, probably since 9, 10 years old, playing basketball. Which led to, you know, Chicago. You know Chicago.
Of course.
You know, and I guess I can start it by saying Chicago has been Chicago the whole time.
You know, never changed.
Plus a couple guns.
Now, yeah.
You know.
Right. Well, right. Depending on the season.
So, you know, we always had to find something to do.
Outlets.
Yeah, you know, just to stay out of that. You know, so, you know, it was basketball. Then we started breakdancing. And then we discovered this thing called hip-hop.
What was the decision not to get involved in some of the other things?
Good question, Quartermain.
Hey, this is what we
do. What do you mean? What
so some of the other things that's going on in Chicago, what made you at that age decide, you know what, I'm going to try something a little different. I don't want to do this.
Well, I think we all knew, like, you know, you grow up in the environments and you know what it is. And if you want, you have a choice. You're either going to try and be the king of the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to try and figure out how to survive in the jungle, you know, and that's to stay out of the shots, out of the
because I think for a lot of young kids, you know, it's important to realize that decision making comes in very early.
Yeah,
you're always there for the kids, Quartermain.
Yeah. This is what knowledge is about.
Grab a kid by the hand.
Yeah.
So, and did it also feel like a more natural thing? Like, did you guys know that the street stuff just wasn't for you?
Yeah, I mean, because it's a long history of that there. It's not, you know, just because it's not in the news all the time, it's
Chicago
there.
Been a
we
hot
know
day.
It. You know, you grow up, you watch people die, you watch people get in trouble, go to jail, you know, friends going to jail and as teenagers, and you know, we had parents. You know, I gotta put that there and say that.
Of course.
That counts, you know.
Oh yeah.
And
absolutely.
Our parents, you know, were making their way out of, you know to better. So we had examples. And we just looked at each other and we knew. We were like, okay, you know.
I'm gonna rock with you.
We could do better than some of the things we see.
So what was the earliest foray into music for you guys? What did you guys start doing? Like, how did you start messing around with music?
House music was the thing there.
Of course, popping.
Exactly. So, you know, I had a cousin. He DJed. I started trying to DJ. But I was DJing what people wanted to hear, house music. And then, you know, Common brings this Run DMC album to school one day and is like, breakdancing. And I was like, okay, is that what we're doing? Let's breakdance. All right, cool. And then we battled the neighborhood crews, which was our way of getting away from the gang thing, you know, at a younger age, you know, to get the linoleum, cardboard, whatever, do whatever. But it was all like the way we kind of got into it. And then, you know, we would get the New York mixtapes. They would come in.
The culture, alert, the whole, you know, culture.
And,
yeah.
You know, that's when it became like, something to study and figure out, you know, how to get involved. So we just turned into a rap group, you know, not really thinking it's going to work. And to be honest, I went away to college. I was like, hey, man, I'm not tall enough to play basketball.
It's a shame.
NBA.
It's a shame.
Yeah. The rap thing didn't seem like a career. There was no industry there in Chicago. Didn't have a, you know, way to even talk to somebody that was doing music.
Right.
But it was a couple of DJs on the college stations that would, you know, keep us in line with it. But when I got back from college, Common was still doing it. I was like, okay.
Where'd you go to school?
Southern Illinois. Party school.
Would you say that Common was still keep on doing it, if you will? Sorry, guys. I just have my music here, so I get very excited. It's all sitting here.
That wasn't bad timing.
That was good.
It's way far ahead, though. We're not neither there yet.
No.
All right, so he's still with it. He's still doing it. What's he going by right now? Is he Common Sense yet?
No.
He just Lonnie? Like, what is
this? I think he's the black poet Caden.
That sounds like such an early Common name. It's amazing.
And he's rapping with this tone, low, deep voice. You know, and I'm like... Right.
Tone low, deep voice. Yeah. This is before he started doing the scratchy high voice.
Yeah, that came later.
We're predating that. Okay.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So I'm seeing him, and we were down with a crew, and we were kind of like, okay. I was like, all right, I'll be the third guy in the crew, the fourth guy in the crew. But nobody would do me beats, so I just started doing beats for myself. Because I knew a little something from DJing. And, you know, I had a couple people that taught me, you know, pretty good.
What machine you were using?
SP-1200.
But of course, the gate.
Out the gate. That's all I had.
Yeah.
A couple crates in that and a speaker and a little amp, you know. And, I it was innocent. I didn't think. We went to a couple seminars out here, new music seminars. And this all ties into why I do what I do now. Because these outlets is what gave us hope. And, you know, we came and we saw the culture and the music and the parties and the DJing and the rapping and all of this, and it was like, okay, it's possible.
It's happening. There are people doing this.
Yeah, it's possible to at least keep pursuing. And eventually, this guy Peter Kang from Relativity found the demo, and I think
who was it?
Source,
by the way,
and
but was it you, Common? Why not? Who else was the other people?
Why not? Yeah, why not? Who wasn't Why Not back then?
Okay,
it was Twilight Tone.
Yeah. Phew.
And a guy named Omar O Type Star. They were a group, and we were like the youngins.
Okay.
You know, and I can literally remember the day that one day I came in there, I was like, I know I got some joints, so I'm going to play my beats today, just show everybody. And I didn't realize Common was coming in with his raps, like, yo, I got
raps today.
And I played some beats, and he rapped the raps, and we looked at each other, and it was like, okay.
This is a thing. This might be a thing.
This is something.
And it was no prompting beforehand.
No, you didn't tell him, hey, I'm working on something. Nah. He just said, can I get that? And I said, yeah.
Which is the ultimate compliment, especially when you're coming up, you know?
Yeah. It's like, you don't think it, because you don't, you know, back then, I always say this, back then you didn't think about producing for people. That wasn't a concept, because everybody had their producers within their thing.
Yeah, that's sort of only, in my opinion, that really became a thing post Pete Rock premiere, like people going out and doing like I call it post Illmatic. Oh, well, that's a great example, which is funny, you can do this on an album, multiple people. Right.
Good point. Which
of course includes Pete and Premier. Like, go get Pete, go get Premier, go get Q-Tip. Yeah.
Before that, it was a remix.
Exactly. Good point. That's a good point.
And Cruz had their own individual sound, so you're just going out trying to find your guy.
Yeah, you didn't try and get on the Tribe Called Quest album.
Right. They had their own sound. What are you going to do with that?
Why?
That sounds so foreign.
And it's so funny. And then even when you look back at it, even with Pete finding the beat for Jazz, it wasn't like it was produced by Pete Rock. It was still, you just, you know, fed into the Tribe way of doing it. It was a Tribe record. Yeah. All right. So how was your stuff this early? Like, does it resemble what we ended up getting on Can I Borrow a Dollar?
Yeah. That's That's what it was. Literally.
It was all those early beats, stuff.
Except he would take the jazzy things. Like, I probably had a couple hardcore things that he probably wasn't thinking about because it was a jazzy era.
It was a jazzy era.
It was a jazzy
era. What year are we talking right now?
90, 91. I don't know.
Because the album ends up dropping in 92, correct?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And this is the first thing I ever heard from Common, of course.
Just calm down. For Christ's sake, let's just take it easy.
Take it easy. Word. Cough needles and taking it easy.
Take it easy. Yo, what an intro you put on this song, by the way.
Yeah. Yo, man, brothers out here saying you should come on a gangster tip.
Oh, that's you?
Nah.
It's not you?
Nah, that's Tone.
Oh, that's Tone?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Easy, easy like Sunday morning. I think you can simply nervous jump when I'm yawning. Ah, Common's coming in with the, oh, excuse me, Elizabeth. This is a big one. I mean a doozy.
They're probably youngins listening to our show right now like, that's not Common.
Yo, that was amazing when I first heard that.
Me too. I was like instantly, I actually love that Common from that Common so much that like I resisted the second album for a while. Like I was very into this album. Wow. I was a little slow. Like everyone told me how, you know, how great Resurrection was. I was like, oh, I'm going to get to that. It's cool. But that Common sense. I was still rocking on that.
I tell you, from a New York perspective, I'd never heard that song on the radio. At that time, you know, the first time that was introduced was as a video.
It was the video. 100% the video.
Yeah. So I remember just seeing it and being like, these guys are clearly not from New York, but you couldn't really tell. Right. You know, it just seemed different, but those drums, undeniable, you know, from
the gate. Do you still like
gate.
That record when you hear it?
You know, it's tough.
Well, what do you hear that you don't like? What don't you like about it?
You know what you would have done, you know. Everything I do, I look back and I say, I would have. You know, it's just self-critical nature.
So the relativity thing comes together. It becomes a real thing.
Yeah.
You sign a deal. How you guys get some money? Like you get some nice money in your pocket? Nothing.
Nah. I mean.
The advance was nothing to be excited about?
The whole deal was probably like $70,000-$80,000.
For everything you had to do?
Yeah.
And that included money you had to spend?
A few of us. Yeah.
Right. And
we did the album twice.
Why did you do the album twice?
Because... here's the crazy thing. I used to do beats and put them on his answer machine and he would write the songs, right? So we never would hear the songs until they were done. And we would go in and do them in like 1-2 days, all of the songs. So the first time we did it, we didn't take into account samples and things like that. And, you know, little tweaks we had to figure out as far as just finishing a real record, you know, not a demo. So we did it one time, and then we ran into those issues, and then we were like, okay, we're going to do it again and kind of get it right. But it was crazy. We were going like 3-4 days and do all of that without ever hearing it put together.
Just going on faith.
Yeah, and sometimes I had to do the beats because that sample didn't have a lot of time. I would have to have the music on one disc, the drums on another. So it was pure imagination of what it was really going to end up like, so... That's that training.
Yeah, no, and that and you must end up at that point like almost wasting studio time too, because when you get in, you then have to do all this stuff that you haven't been able to get much practice
doing.
Yeah,
but think about it nowadays, people really waste studio time.
Well, yeah, they just post.
They just sit there and smoke.
I know,
it's
so funny.
There's no pre-writing. There's no pre-production.
I do a show for Complex at Chung King Studios, and the owner of Chung King the other day came up to me and he said, he was talking about how artists these days, he was like, when they get here, the first thing they do for like 2 hours is just like, unpack weed and like set up and blah blah blah. And he was like, it's crazy. Like they're not he was like, and then at the end of the day they end up calling their manager will call back and be like, hey, we need to come back in there, everything sounds like shit. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I know, I heard it. It sounded like shit last night. No one was paying attention to what they do at the studio.
Yeah. Like that first album I got $1,600.
Hey, there you go. 1,600 smackaroos.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Hey.
Some money in your pocket.
Yeah.
did you do every song?
Nah, about 8. But it was like me and Tone were like a production crew.
So you were involved? Were you involved on everything? Did you have? So who did the outside stuff come from? I don't
Tone.
Remember.
It was just me
so
and
just,
Tone.
It was just y'all. The whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the science behind the names? Because it was both backwards, right?
That was later. See.
Because I feel like it would say why not.
No. So one day we're out on the road and Tone is like, hey, I got something. You should be No ID. That's your name backwards. And I'm just talking and I'm like, yeah. And you should be why not. And he goes, oh. So we literally.
And that was it.
That was it. We just switched right there.
Who did this? This is the first. I should know this. This is the first record I heard on the radio. I was already into the album.
Okay.
I think you'd agree this is the first mix show record.
Mm, I did that.
Well, congratulations, sir, because this is one of the greatest remixes in hip-hop history. This is one of the greatest moments. You got to still be proud of this one.
Yeah, nah, that was probably the first one I was like...
You had to know.
Like I might be all right. I might be all right.
Bad as Leroy Brown, Brown. I'm a pro for pro, but not a noun. A noun. If you got beef, beef, you'll get ground, ground. Cut up and so-so by the pound for pound. I'm going downtown. This is one of those songs that I describe as would give me the feeling. Like, I describe it as the feeling, like, the hip-hop feeling. Like, I get chills still when I hear the opening of it. Like, that song, and the samples you picked for the hook were so... I didn't remember a lot of other songs at that time sampling things that were so recent.
Right.
Right? So, like, the samples you pulled out were just hot a second ago.
Yeah.
And it all came together. Did that song make an impact? Like, did more so than the first two?
Yeah. That was the... Oh, you guys are serious. Oh, okay, it's not. Oh, okay. You guys are going to grow.
You're going to continue.
You're going to, oh, it's for real. It was.
Because the people still didn't take Breaker 1-9.
Nah, it was the same way. You know, a lot of trends, a lot of things happening. It was cute. I think it was cute before that. Then it was like, oh. That's not cute. That's
rap song. That's a fucking rap song.
Somebody might get punched to that.
Yeah. We can't. I don't know. I don't know if we could discount that one. You know.
Nah, that was. That's, I think, when you're talking about Common's whole catalog, that, you know, I include I love the first two. I think they have to be there. But when you're like bolding the big ones, that's the first bold one you see is that, So by the Pound remix.
Yeah, I feel that way too.
It was a monster. Yeah. So, that you did enough. Did the deal include multiple albums to start out with?
Yeah.
So you had a few albums to start.
Yeah.
You knew you were going to have Resurrection. There was going to be a second album.
We didn't know anything. You know, I didn't. You know, I wasn't part of the deal. I was just along.
So you're not going on the road at this time?
No, like, I am going.
But you're
not
going to the meetings.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
I'm just in his road.
I'm just the music guy that's down in kind of in the group, but it's not a group. But it's, you know, we kids. We just. Yeah.
He's figuring it out. Yeah, you're figuring it out.
We don't know anything.
Who was his manager at the time?
Our other childhood friend. His name was Derek Dudley.
It was Derek Dudley still. Yeah. Okay, so Derek Dudley's going to the meetings with Common, and they're coming back to you and telling you what's
saying,
going on.
This was going on. You got the music? I'm like, yeah, it's right here. All right, cool.
So, okay, let's stop for a second here. Was there much road stuff on the first album?
Yeah.
You promo tour or real tour or an actual tour?
Not tour, just promo.
Is the first tour, I'll tell you what I remember. The first tour I remember, because I didn't go and I don't even like talking about it, was Best of the Underground. Was that the first one?
Yeah, I don't
know. Artifacts?
Yeah, I probably didn't go on that one.
Artifacts, Beatnuts, Common.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't go on that one.
One more.
No, I did go on that one. Yes.
The Best of the Underground tour.
Yes.
You know how tight
Nick went to that?
No, Nick was in college already. I wasn't allowed to go because it was a weeknight at 9:30 Club. And I wasn't allowed to go. My mom probably would let me go on the weekend, but not on a weeknight for sure. And I remember, like, a few white girls from school went, and I was so tight. I was like, you don't even fucking deserve to go to that concert. I wish I could remember who the fourth group was.
Shout out Beatnuts, though. Beatnuts and VIC is like, they mentored me early and kind of made me make that jump from.
Did that
in terms of drums, programming, sequencing?
Just, you know, digging.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, okay.
Digging for records.
No, I got it.
They could teach. The Beatnuts will teach you about three things, okay? Digging for records, fucking a bitch, and punching someone in the face. Yeah. Those are the three things they can teach you about.
Yeah.
Drinking and smoking is
drinking and smoking.
Parenthetically in there. You know what I mean? That's four and five in brackets.
So did the relationship with them come through relativity or just on your own?
It was relativity. Like, the first people we met was like Joe, Pun. Then we met Chi Ali, which led to Beatnuts, which led to, you know. So we was just like, okay. You know, we would go in there and we would listen, and I'll be like, I don't know how they doing this, you know. Because back then when you were sampling these things, it was foreign. You didn't know what it was.
There was no manual. There was no YouTube.
You know, nothing. You just had to guess.
And was their knowledge of music astounding even from then, like the records they knew? Or were they still new to it and didn't have the same? Because now I know they know everything. But back then, did they know all that shit?
They knew a lot. It was a little network. And what it really turned into was I was in Chicago, so I had access to stores where people didn't know anything. So they would give me these titles of these records, and they'd say, if you can find it, and I would just find a double. And I'd
take one for yourself.
Exactly.
You put one in the stash.
One for you, two for me. And that's how, and then I met Buck Wild, and he would do the same thing. And, you know, so I like.
You're talking about a lot of heavy drum dudes.
No, I'm just giving the credit where it's due, because before that, absolutely. I didn't have it like that. And then I kind of got it like that.
Yes.
And the same, and these, this, that, that network of people, which like eventually, you know, I know VIC and Buck, Diamond D, Q-Tip, all these people. Like, there's so many people who are passing around records at this point. It's an amazing time. Yeah. You remember Joe and you remember Pun that early too in the
I remember we met him. Like, it's funny. I was out somewhere and one of his guys ran up on me and was like, "Yo," I was at Tiana Taylor listening thing, and he's like, "Yo, you know, Pun really messed with you, man." Like, you know, and I was like, I messed with him. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Thank you.
But he was still, we young Chicago kids, man. We don't even know what this really means in the scope of history. You don't look at it and they're like, yeah, this is going to matter. You're almost like, I hope it keeps going. You never know, because it wasn't big budgets. It wasn't big anything. It wasn't even major labels.
There was no real groundwork to look at. Like, yes, there were other rap artists who had some career, but there wasn't anything like what it is now as far as you could literally look through history and be like, well, so-and-so did this, and then they did that.
Yeah.
This was brand new as far as a lot of labels giving artists deals. Yeah. This was all,
the book was being written.
This was being written. Yeah. This is how it was happening. So you end up getting in. How does the Resurrection end up coming together? Was it all just continued organic vibes?
Well, I always tell the story, and Tone gets feelings when I do it, but you know, it's all in love. I remember one day after I made Soul by the Pound, I was like, I went to him, and I was like, "Yo, I figured out how to make beats out of sounds, like, because it was just these levels on the sampler. It wasn't a keyboard. I was like, yo, I know how to play the sounds." And he starts laughing at me because sampling good samples was the thing of the day. He's like, you just don't have no samples. You're trying to make stuff up.
And I was,
I was offended.
Chopping.
Yeah, I was like chopping little sounds and playing them. So that's what Soul by the Pound was. That's not like a sample somewhere.
It's not a loop.
It's not a loop.
Gotcha.
I was playing stuff and chopping stuff and making stuff do different things. And I got offended. I get offended sometimes, right? So, I was like, okay.
So?
Okay.
What you saying?
And that drove me to, like, all of those records on Resurrection. It was, all of this was pride back then, by the way. It wasn't money. Like, even on Resurrection, I was probably getting $1,500 a beat. You know?
Hey, now. But hey, you're up, because you only made $1,600 on the whole first album.
You're right.
And again, it's being written.
You know, so you're walking away with 10 grand. Like, you know? And it's for the, I was like, really like, yo, respect me.
You gonna like my style?
Yo, yeah, for real, you gotta respect me. And I think that was probably, you know, like a big leap for me, technically, you know what I mean?
How many joints do you do on Resurrection?
11.
Whew.
Yeah.
That album changed things. You know what I'm saying? Like, he Commons definitely started to get taken seriously at that point.
Mm-hmm.
How annoying was the name change situation?
Who cares?
It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
No one said
that. I mean, he might have been annoying. I was like,
you're like,
you're like, I ain't
Commons. I just changed my name.
Exactly. What's in a name?
Yeah, whatever.
What are your favorite joints on Resurrection? It's a very beloved album, obviously.
I wrote, course, like, I used to love that. That's, you can't say that.
I mean, you're like kicked out of hip hop.
Yeah,
you know.
I just gotta say that. But it's hard for me to like a lot of records that I'm involved in creating. So sometimes I like stuff that other people do that I like. You know, so that Communism
is awesome. That's a fun tune.
Yeah. I remember that's how I kind of got cool with P-Rock. He kept calling me, trying to be like, yo, what did you use for that? I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know.
So this was one that drove Pete crazy? He couldn't figure out what it was?
Yeah, he just kept calling me. Yo, what's up? So what did you use? I'm like, I don't know.
Figured it out yet?
I think I figured it out. Sometimes I didn't know.
You didn't. That's what I was going to say. You just record the sounds and start messing with them, and then you forget what the original thing was.
Yeah, because you can't find it. There's a lot to go through to find it. You got to remember.
So did you have to clear this, or it changes so much that you don't have to clear stuff like that?
We don't talk about those things.
Got it. Perfect. How did you feel about this, though?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. So now, you know, now we at the stage where I'm starting to meet people that I look up to because it's main source. This is all this, you know, and I'm like, the fact that they even mess with us,
crazy.
Yeah, now it's like, okay.
Like, this is really working.
Yeah.
We're in
what's happening now. This is it.
Yeah, once you have the two remixes.
Yeah.
Like, you're in the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you remember those early, like, was he one of the guys you were very excited to meet?
Yeah. I was just happy to meet everybody, to be honest. You know. But I'm a laid back guy, so I don't know if that means like, yo. I think it just meant like, ah, man. A moment.
Right. Just register that moment. Yeah. Now, so obviously because it wasn't a set group and you were just handling the music you were handling, but you were doing such a heavy part of it. You were doing so much of the heavy lifting this. Mm-hmm. Were you involved in the conversations about outside producers? Because at this point also he starts to dip into a little bit more.
No, it was still remixes there. But the third album, that's when it kind of got
weird.
Nah, not weird.
It's when Common sold you out.
Nah. That's a good one.
Not even like that. Just like, oh,
nah,
because
if you really look at the third album, The Roots is still the only outside producer.
Well, but hold on.
One song.
But between that, though.
Remixes.
No, but between that, though.
What?
Oh, we talk about one day.
Oh, you going to play that?
You know what I'm about to play.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So yeah, like something like this. Do you have a conversation about a record like this?
All right. So this is how that happened. In the process of meeting the guy that signed him to Relativity, right? I'm still a rapper. I don't know I'm going to be a producer yet. So I go.
And don't think we forgot about your rap career either. Yeah, but keep going.
So I go to the guy. I'm like, look, man, I rap. What are you looking for? And he's like, he describes it, right? He describes what type of artist he's looking for. I said, cool. So I went in for a day and a half. I made a 6-song demo. And he hears it, and he's like, okay, I'm going to sign you too. All of this production stuff starts happening, and I forget I got a record deal myself. Right?
Wow.
So then I go and get the... I was like, okay. So I literally got slick. I took my budget, got a crib, and built a studio. Right?
Small.
And I tell Common, like, yo, man, we should build a company. This will be our base studio. We record in our base studio. We start signing people.
Boom, boom, boom.
We have it. That's it. And I think he was just looking at me like, I'm a rapper. What are you talking about? Right? But it was like, you know, now I'm starting to bring people around. Like, yo, check this artist out.
And he's like,
yo, man, what are you doing? Give me the beat. What are you talking about? So
you in mogul mode at that point, early mogul mode.
Or can we make a living?
Right. Finding ways to really hit.
Can we make a living? This is these peanuts. We got to turn them into donuts, you know. And, you know, it was like, yeah, yeah. You know, he gave me the yeah, 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 yeah. And Derek gave me the yeah, yeah. And I think the first space of separation came from that record that you just played. Where I said, hey, man, I'm not with that beef thing you doing right there.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't from the right place. You know where we from. It goes all the way in my eyes. Like, yeah.
There's no turn off.
Yeah, man. Why? Nah. But he was kind of, in my eyes, looking at it like, nah, Cube is hot, though, man. It's gonna go. I'm like, nah, but that ain't my energy. Like, so get somebody else to do it. That was the first time I ever told him, I don't want to do that record. I don't want to do the record.
So he knew that he was making this record.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Pete brought the sample and he was like, I'm going to do it. He was like, I'm gonna do the song about the situation.
Yes, yes. He heard the line and he was like, ah, I'm going in. And I was like,
and I need a beat for that.
I was like, yo, you gotta really be going in for the right reason for me. I'm not in. If this is not real, I'm not in. And because it's real to me. You know, I'm going to see these guys somewhere, and it's not.
Yeah.
Nah, it was like, I didn't have no concept of that yet, of it being.
Did you like the song?
Yeah, I liked the song. So when I heard it, I was like, yo, that is dope. I was like, oh, man. But I'm competitive, too, so I was like, yeah, all right. So what I did was then I started working on my album, and I started really not giving them the beats.
So this is like 95.
No, this is like 96.
96. And your album eventually comes out in 97, right?
Yeah.
So you're already working on a 96.
Yeah, so he was like working with Tone more now because of the little thing that was happening with us. And I was like, all right, I'll work on mine. And then, of course, I'm meeting like, oh, here's this little kid, Kanye, right? Here's this Shauna from DDP at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm getting all these pieces around me now. I'm like, hey, man, we better... This is real. Like, what you come on, man. Don't do that. And, you know, it was always competitive. As in mine, we childhood friends, so it was competitive. So I eventually play him my stuff, and he's kind of like, yeah. And I get him on this one. And, you know, now it's feeling a little competitive. I don't think I rap better than him, but, you know, I'm like, yo, I want to be the Dre. You know, and we can, you know, have a crew, man. We can make a chronic.
That's a good model.
A underground chronic or something, right? And he's kind of like, yeah. But so then he drops the single with Shantae Savage, the You Remind Me.
Reminding Me, right.
Right. Now, I'm dropping kind of harder stuff on my joint, right? And he like looking... And then people started to say, like, yo, he ain't giving you... He kept that for himself. He didn't give you that. He let you come out with the radio joint.
Now you got the peanut gallery in ears.
Right. So now... Oh, wait a minute. He got the house? And you in the apartment?
Yeah.
With the studio? What's up? But I came back around on this one, and I just did a whole bunch of beats real quick and still did about 10 on this one.
So it ended up being that many? What else do you do on this is on...
That's a lot for throwaway.
This is one day? This one did all make sense?
Yeah. I did about 10 on that, too.
What did you end up doing on here? There's so much. I love this. You did this, didn't you? No?
No. That's Doug Imp.
That's Doug Imp. Doug Imp did that. That's right.
Along the way, too. Mm. You know?
I'm trying to remember what you did. I don't remember which. There's so much good shit on here. You didn't do Retrospect for Life, did you?
Yeah, I did that.
We got to start respecting life more, y'all.
This is one of, let's just be honest, this is one of the great emo rap songs in history. Like, it's hard to listen to this on a random day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's such an emotional record. Yeah. But it is. And one of the best Lauren appearances. She didn't have that many features.
Yeah.
Knowing you the best part of life, do I have the right to take yours? Because I created you irresponsibly, subconsciously.
Who did this?
I did that.
Yo, seriously, go fuck yourself. Sorry. This shit right here.
Envisioning the hereafter, listening to Steve Wonder on the quest for love like the perceived drummer. I strike like lightning and don't need thunder. And hell, imagination and breathe wonder. That's your lady, I used to run up in her. And she weave from her. It's a
cold. Yo, have you ever listened to any of these? Have you ever listened to any of these records with Ye? Like, have you ever watched Ye? Like, I would imagine Ye flips for that fucking song. I would imagine you have songs from that era that I could just see him losing his mind to.
Yeah, but he's competitive, too. We got this. We all got this thing. Like, yeah.
But, hold on.
Hold on.
Props, but.
Yeah. Gotta tip the hat, but now I'm going back in.
Who did Stolen Moments 1 and 2?
Me.
Okay, you ended up delivering like this whole album. This is like the biggest.
I came in the fourth quarter, and
Jordan did hit.
Yeah,
hold that.
Check it. There was a Hardy Boy mystery I was trying to solve. Can't understand.
I feel like
I haven't heard this stuff in a while,
dude. I feel like this one.
I sold my whole college experience.
This was college radio. We were playing all these album cuts on college radio.
My first room by myself. You know what I mean? Like, bringing people over. Like,
who did this? Hold on, who did this?
Me?
Yo, we used to play this on college radio.
I listened to this about a month ago. I think it came up randomly on something.
Pandora or something?
Yeah.
Cannabis was so hot at that time. Oh, he was so scorching.
Jesus.
Yeah.
People forget that.
Oh, that's the whole. I'm gonna do a Cannabis Juan Epstein because his moment. He's the first internet rapper in history, and he had an iconic moment. That was a. It was granted. It ended up being a botch moment, but a moment nonetheless. All right, so your album comes out. I fucked with it. You know what I'm saying?
So this. Watch this.
Tell us this.
So, I had a release party set up at this spot in Chicago. There's like a famous spot. I think it's the Regal. Right, and I tell Derek, because now Derek's like, yo, let me manage you, blah, blah.
You see,
I see what's going on, y'all, I went in. But I feel like Common's going left, right? And I'm like, man, I'm trying to do what's smart and right. I get it. And he's not a confrontational guy. And then when you know somebody that long in your life, you know.
Sometimes confrontation, you don't want the confrontation, so things go unsaid.
And a lot of stuff is taken for granted. You know, even a friendship, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, somehow they're like, yo, we're going to do it together. And then I see the flyer one day and I'm not on the flyer, right? And I realize, like, yo, they stole my night.
For the party.
Yeah, for the release party. And I'm not on the flyer. I was like, yo, all right, now
this
I
is
feel away.
Yes. Yeah,
wait, so who put the flyer together?
I felt like, I don't care who did it.
Someone did it.
Y'all, somebody approved it.
I'm not investigating.
Somebody approved it. It got done.
And now it's in the streets.
Yeah. It didn't just get out on its own. Somebody said
So yes. Did you actually confront them on this one?
Yeah. I was like, yo. And then, you know, I kind of saw like where music was going. It was like, all right, here comes Puff. Here comes this and that. And I was like, I'm not, again, I'm a realist in life. So, like, it's the same way when I was, like, I went to my high school coach and, like, look, I'm 5'9". I'm not going pro. You got me practicing too much. I got to go do something else. In the middle of the season. He's like, what?
This is a waste of my time. Let's be realistic about this.
It's not going anywhere.
Right.
And I'm wasting time. So, same thing. I was like, I remember I did, like, one video and one show at this place at an underground spot, and I said, yo, I am not a rapper. I know how to rap. I can put it together. I probably will get better, but I'm not a rapper. And where this is going, I'm not going. So,
like, I know I can do a perfunctory album and it'll get up, but this isn't, but my, know, my
this
bread
is
butter
not what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm not doing this. And I went and I said, hey guys, I retire. I quit. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I quit, man. It's not, I'm a producer, man. I'm just keep it.
I want to stay in the back.
I don't got that personality to go out here and do this. I don't. And that was it. So I think at that point, like, the damage was probably there. And then I made this decision. So then I'm kind of just there by myself. And then all of a sudden, Common just moves to New York and, like, kind of stiffs me on the studio time, money, and all that. I'm like, okay. All right.
So shit's just getting increasingly weird.
Yeah, now he's like, oh, I'm with the Native Tongue. I'm over there. I got this. And he's making these records. And then we just stopped talking. Literally.
This is now we're in 98. Is he with Badu yet or no? Right pre that? Right,
A little pre that.
I'm trying to think of what, hold on. This is the album after.
He does the record with De La. He does some things. He's out there. He's in the videos. And I'm like, okay. And everybody in Chicago is like, you really left Chicago? You really left us? And, you know, so now he's getting that flack. Everybody that, you know, was supposed to get put on is looking at each other now. And kind of, hey,
it all sound rocky right now.
Sean Lett is looking, and everybody's like, yo, did he just bounce on everybody?
And that's how it felt.
Yeah.
And at this point, are you aware fully of Kanye's potential, or is he still just a kid learning and it's hopeful?
Well, I know his potential, but I'm still looking at what's going on.
Right, you're not thinking about who's next.
I'm not thinking about that he has the personality and ability to change what's going on. Right. I'm looking at what he's wearing, how he acts, how he talks.
And it's not necessarily fitting in right now.
I don't know that nobody will accept what you're doing.
Well, sometimes you have to accept yourself and be your own. You know what I'm saying? Did I get it right?
I heard that somewhere.
Is that what the title is? What it is?
Don't matter. Same thing.
Don't worry about it. Look it up.
Yeah.
So what do you guys do then with the common relationships at this point severed?
Well, at this time, it's weird. So that happens. I kind of just go into a little cave. Like, I'm just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then he got this Kanye kid like, yo, man, what's going on? And we take him to some record deal meetings, and he goes in there and acts crazy. And that was the first time I see him act crazy.
God.
So, like, I'm management now with the guy, Peter King, who signed as a Relativity. We go see Donnie Einer. We go see all these people, and he does some crazy stuff. Like, I'm the next Michael Jackson. I'm better than Jermaine Dupri.
Like, not a
he
saw it.
Why his father's right? No, it's crazy now.
Yeah,
it's crazy now. So I'm like, I'm not gonna manage you. I'm gonna help you.
Yo, listen.
I don't have.
It's a wild card.
The
right
best
now.
Thing about one yeah, one day we'll I put can't. One day when we put together the Kanye story that includes all the different pieces we gotten from Kanye about it, for everybody about Kanye. It's always the same thing.
Yeah.
Kanye was out of his gourd, but he turned out to be right. That said, there was no way for the people around him to have treated him as such because you'd be going on such a fucking.
Yeah,
like just hunch. You
yeah,
know
but
what
let
saying?
That be a lesson. Like everybody not gonna believe in your dream.
No, but
you know
here's
what I mean?
But here's
you
exactly
stick to what you want.
But exactly, yeah. But here's the problem. I still run into people like that who act like Kanye. And guess what, motherfucker? You're not Kanye.
No, you're
and you're not.
You gotta have
Kanye.
The talent and the determination
no.
and the passion. Here,
here's the elements of that. I'm gonna say the personality. Nobody has that real personality. You could try and be. Act like you know and believe in yourself and outgoing, whatever. He had a specific person. He will not, if he wants that glass over there, he's going to get the glass. No matter what, no one said, no matter the cost.
Right.
No matter anything, right? The personality. Then you had me, who was a purist at this, right? Giving him the information, right? Then you had him going under D-Dot, who was giving him the puff code. The dancey. Now he's dancing around and we like, what are you doing, man? You can't do that. Then he goes and along that way, I met hip hop around resurrection time. And hip hop was like, yeah, man, I'm a fan, working with this guy Jay-Z, working on the second album. I'm like, yeah, I know him. I go out there, we become friends. So when all this happens, I'm like, yo, I'm not gonna do this, man. Hop hit me like, yo, I like that kid. I'm like, take him.
I can't do this. I just
take
can't
him.
Do this.
You know,
it's you.
There's other people and stuff in between there, but, you know, around the time, I'm just like, yo,
who was his
take
other
him.
Early manager from?
John Monopoly,
of course. Yes.
Free Maiden, a whole lot of different things, right? But I'm still the
You're
guy.
You're the closest.
That I'm not, because I've known him the
yeah,
longest
yeah, yeah, yeah.
and helped him the longest. So I'm like, you like them. Hop. Yeah, that's how you could get to Jay-Z, because he always wanted to get to people he felt like was the best. So now you got the me, the Puff, the Jay-Z.
Mm.
That's codes right there, right? And I'm still like, yeah, but you got the pink polo. I don't know, you know. But he put it all together, and for the record, against everybody's, like nobody really. Thought, like, even, you know,
that's great,
even
man.
Quietly, even yeah. the people that were signing, like, yeah, it's gonna be a compilation, you know,
right.
He thinks he's doing an album, but we got another plan. So it, you know, nobody supported that, not the labels, not the people around him. We all just felt like the kid is good, he's very ambitious, and we don't know, but he's good. Gotta help him. And he's not going to accept no help. He would sit outside my house, knock on the windows of the house. I know you're in there. Come on, help me. He's like, you can't.
Can't say no.
You can't get away with it. You can't get away from it because it's so persistent. You just couldn't. It's like, I mean, I'd rather just help you than to dodge you. You know? So, I mean, I think all of that led to that, you know, and I hear a lot of stories and myths out there, but people, you know, he drove that himself, and he used the tools we gave him, you know. And that's why, you know, people say mentor. I'm kind of like, yeah, as a human, we more were just peers. Yeah.
And you were helping, yeah, throw bouncing ideas off each other, yeah, and helping, like, don't try, yeah, it this way. Maybe
the mentor part is I'm the older guy who's trying to get his life together that he doesn't have the father around, and I'm the guy that says, hey, man, chill out. And the guy that when the street guys come around like, yo, I'm about to kill you. Like,
that's
hold
my
on.
Man. That's my man.
Nah,
chill.
We can't do that. Nah.
Now, what else is going on in your career at this point, in this moment, this 99, 2000?
How are you paying bills?
Yeah, man, like, what's your day to day? Did you have any major outside credits during that time?
Nah, it was tough. And mind you, I'm bitter now because it was, like, when we mentioned Pun, it was people like Pun and Ghost and Biggie who had expressed interest of me working, but I was like, nah, I work with my guy. That's it.
And
so
then
I passed
that
up all of the things that would have looked really great on the resume now. You know, I passed it up because I was like, nah, this is a weird team. That's how it is. Like, it's like
you didn't see yourself being an outside producer.
It wasn't a concept to me. Still.
So then what happens during that period?
Yo, I'm struggling. I'm hurting. I'm out here trying to figure it out. And then one day I just said, yo, I'm going to take a shot at this. I'm going to try and be a producer. So I was just sitting, like, you know, it was tough. It was tough.
What,
like,
year? Until what year are we really talking about that you were?
It's like 01 now. I'm like, all right, I'm going to be a, I think I got it. I'm a music producer. What that means, I don't know.
I got to figure that part out.
Because at that point, you're.
Yeah, I just produced for him.
Produced for one guy.
Yeah.
You put out your own album.
Yeah.
And now,
you know, and then now I'm watching, you know, a student produce for other people. So I'm like, I'm a little too, you know, it was funny because Hop and G came to me like, yo, we're going to sign you, Rock the World, Rock Nation. And I'm looking at the contracts like, nah, I did a lot already. You can't, nah, I'm not going back there. Right? And me and Bink, matter of fact, were like, nah. But Justin, yeah, he was like, we don't care. The opportunity is, outweighs the money. You know? And I was like, no. Because for me at that time, it was more of I didn't understand anything. And it just didn't feel like it was fair for what I did. I'm like, wait a minute.
Like, I'm not new to this.
Yo, I put in years.
10 up to this point.
Yeah, I made records. Like, you found me because of a record I did. I didn't knock on the door and say,
was that a mistake?
Put me on.
Are you happy with the decision you made?
No, I'm happy because it made me grow. Like, it made me have to grow as a human being, number one. You know, it's easy to get put on. It made me have to grow as a producer. It made me mature. It made me go through the hard times that I needed to be still around now and to be an executive now. And, you know, because you get a lot when you're young and you can't grow up properly when you don't go through hard times. Mm-hmm. You just can't. Like, you got people who are just grown children because they skip the hard times. So I'm happy I did it because it helped me put life in perspective.
And then what ended up being your real jump back into the game?
What was my real jump back in? I don't know, because I did a couple things here and there. And I had a couple Lucy's, Beanie Siegel, Jay-Z, this and that. And
I mean, why you just didn't skip over that K-Fox
record? K-Fox, yeah. No, the Lucy's, but that didn't
that
come
was
out,
one of them?
Though.
Oh, it didn't? It was promo only?
No, we did the album. The album never came out.
What
just
about
the singles?
What and what about Infamous Syndicate?
That album came out.
That was 97.
Yeah, that's
right.
That was 97.
That was Relativity, right?
Yeah. And I still only probably did one or two records on there. That was more of me trying to turn into the mogul mind at that point.
Yo, I'm so deep sometimes I surprise myself.
Where are you living at this time?
Where I live?
Where are you living at this time during this transitional?
I'm in Chicago.
Still in Chicago.
Yeah. So okay. You know what? Here's the real turning point. I sit at home. I'm getting these Lucy's off. That's what I call them. Like a record here, a record there.
And what, do you remember any of them? Which ones they were?
I did something for Tony Braxton. I did something for Jaheim. I did something for... I'm experimenting. I'm doing R&B now.
Right, right. Okay.
I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be a real producer.
Just a producer, right.
Taking another... I'm not a hip-hop guy. Stop it, guys. You know, that's what I...
I'm
proving all of that, right? And I remember is literally... I was sitting at home one day and I was like, yo... Because along the path of the Kanye, one of the first places, his first placement, we went down to see Jermaine, and he got a record on Jermaine's album
mm-hmm.
with Nas on it, right? So, you know, I kind of knew Jermaine socially, and I was sitting at home like, why is he killing me financially?
Destruction.
Why is he killing me? I think I'm pretty good. It's something I don't know. I think I need to humble myself. And this, again, is how I kept going and growing. And this is why I was like, you know what? I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to go work with him. And I'm going to work under him. Not because I felt like he was technically better than
Clearly
me.
He has.
No, I just said he knows something.
Yeah, yeah, there's
I
something.
Don't know.
Yeah. Right, he's popping. You had to own up. Yeah, like, he's doing like, his thing.
He's, yeah. I got to learn somewhere, something, right? Something I don't know. At this point, I couldn't really learn anything from Kanye because he was kind of, I knew those codes, but I wasn't that human being. I couldn't go out and make records and make them work myself. You know, I was always looking for, I need another star. I got another star artist, which is tough. That's what I'm saying. Like, people got to realize it's not easy. It's tough. It's a lot of variables. So, I go down to Atlanta, and that's when I kind of, and I always say the funniest story is the first number one record I ever did was Trivia, Do You Know?
No.
Let Me Hold You by Bow Wow.
I did not know that.
See, that wasn't in your queue.
That was not in my queue.
That was not in your queue.
Wow.
But.
I didn't have that on here.
Yeah. So here's the
there fun. You go. Hold on. Okay. This was it. This was the smash. This is what got No ID back in the game.
Yeah, that put me back into, you might not phase out. You can adapt. You may be an adapter. You might figure this out.
Yo, this record is even soft by Bow Wow standards.
Yeah.
All right, boom. So it's already paying off. This relationship is working.
So now I'm
working.
Like, okay, I'm going to get my feet back under me. I'm going to, you know. And I remember how I did that record. I literally, it was like, I had to, everything that I ever believed in as far as like hip-hop principles, I like had to just suppress it. You know. But one thing I learned is I would watch him down, how he would make his records. He would go to the club. He'd come back to the club. He'd be drunk, and he'd start dancing. And he'd be like, the record got to go like this. So when I did the record, I was just sitting there thinking, like, I had him dancing in my brain, and I was just trying to block out anything that got in the way. And I just did it, and it worked. And then I was like, okay, expand. Like, open your mind. It's deeper than digging for records and all this now. It's like, It's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it,
but it's capturing a feeling. It's creating a thing that people will resonate.
Yeah,
not just finding a dope sound. It's something that resonates.
Yes. So now I'm putting all the pieces together. And you got any questions for?
That was a jewel. Hey, I don't even think we should interrupt that.
No, keep going.
Jewelry.
So you know, then we do a couple more of those records that you probably didn't know I do. You have to.
Can you just? I don't. My internet's gone, so
that
I
was
can't shoot.
It was a couple more Bow Wow records.
Of course,
Out of My System with T-Pain,
mm-hmm.
Four Corners with Early Wayne, and then I did this Plies record. What was the name of it? Put It On You.
Okay.
Right. Nobody knows that was me. Okay. That was me living in Atlanta now.
And just doing random.
Like, yo, let me see if I could do this. And that was when I said, okay, I can do whatever I want to do now, right?
That fucked me up. I didn't know that.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Here's the thing. It was this kid that started Chicago music. That I feel like we're the two first producers that really put the Chicago thing to happen, which is Legendary Traxter. So he's now down in Atlanta. And we had just got cool because we were adversaries. It was like West Side versus South Side. He had the Twister.
But now y'all on Mutual.
Now we like, yo, grown man style. So one day we're in this place we call the Shack, and he's like, yo, you know what? I know you're doing all this Atlanta music, and I know you're doing all this, but people love you for hip hop. People love you for, I used to love. People love you for, then nobody's going to never mention these records, as you didn't. He proved it, right? Wow. He's like, no one's going to mention this stuff, man. You got to do what you do. And I was like, yeah, I guess. You know, because the sped up sample thing was a whole nother era.
Chip-tune.
Yeah, like Kanye kind of made it me not be able to do me. He was like, nah, I don't want the Kanye sound. I'm like, yo, what do you mean? This is what I do. What's going on? Right?
That's hard.
So I had to, that period was harder because I had to do other things than what I do. And then I kind of came back and I reinvented what I was doing with all of the pieces I picked up along the way. So a funny story is Kanye was going through things, you know, his mom passed and all this, right? Now, I remember Malik Youssef saying to me, you got to go back around him, man. Because I kind of, as the record deal thing happened, I... Yo, that's not my thing. It's too much going on.
You got to let him do himself. Yeah.
Do it. I'm going to go over there, right? He's like, yo, you got to come back in his life. You know, he needs somebody real in his life. And I'm like, eh, you know, he's a star, rap star now, man. I'm not, you know. He's like, nah, he needs you, right? So we start our more than music dialogue again. And I see him one day, and he's like, yo, let's go to Hawaii. Now, mind you, all this time, I'm not talking to Common.
He's like, still?
Yeah. Whew. Years.
Wow. Years. What, like year what year were we in
there? If he's going to, right now, he's going to Hawaii. We're talking like
08. We're talking about 2008 now.
Yeah, shit.
Because I skipped later. A lot of.
And that was like, this about 10 years? Y'all ain't really talking?
Eight?
Yeah.
More than nine?
Yeah, man. We didn't speak. We, you know, if it was speaking, it was in passing.
Hey, what's up, man? Was,
yeah, what's up? Yeah, no, we gonna get
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah.
No, right? And I meet him somewhere. I meet him in New Orleans. He's doing the Essence Festival, and we meet up, and I'm like talking to him about, man, you need a real girl to be with, and this and that, and we're having all these conversations, and he's like, yo, I'm going to Hawaii. Why don't you come out? I'm working on some stuff for Jay. And I was like, he's like, let's do it together. I'm like, do it together? We don't do beats together. Like, we just help each other do each yeah. other, you know, give each other suggestions or ideas or samples or this or that. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. So I go to Hawaii, and in 2 days, we do like 9-10 beats. It's me, him, and Jeff Basker. And I remember we used to sit outside and eat breakfast at this hotel. And I remember looking, he looked at me, I looked at him. He looked at me, I looked at him. You know what we just did, right? He's like, yeah.
Like, this is just something new.
Like, that was too easy. You know? He's like, yeah. Because it was always things I knew and things that he knew that he would want to get what I knew, like drums or, you know, certain. Access to certain,
like I was going to ask, just give an example of like how that co-production
the
thing
collaborative
worked.
Process. Yeah.
Oh well, at that stage it was weird because when you co-produce with somebody and you do the same thing, it's tough because it's not like you could both people hit the you hit that key, I hit that key. It doesn't go like that. It's more like envisioning what it is and deciding who's going to do it. You do that. I do it. It should go like that. Nah, it should go, you know.
Hey, then you play it if you...
Yeah, you want to do it? I do it. You do it? I don't.
There is no structure.
It's an ongoing conversation.
Yeah. I got some good drums right here. Oh, yeah, those are dope. Yeah, that's a good sample. You want to... Nah, maybe just to replay that. Nah, I don't... You... So it was weird.
And what records were getting done here on this trip?
All of the Blueprint 3 records.
Okay.
All of the 808 records. Like, the 808 records came out of doing the Blueprint 3 records. Like, matter of fact, when we did Heartless, he just stopped and said, no. I was like, no what? He's like, no way. This is my record. I'm like, come on, man. Can we just finish the guy's album, man? He's like, nope, I'm doing an album.
That was the decision point of the album.
Yes.
And so you were, he's working on that, hears that, and is like, no, 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 I'm going to go, this is...
So in the middle of that, we do that in about 3-4 weeks, and then he goes on tour. And Jay-Z is like, what just happened? Where am I... What happened? And I tell Jay, yo, man, it's going to be hard to finish that. You probably need to come to Hawaii, man. It's, you know, just come out there, man. Come on, please come out there. But anyway, all of this is the beginning of me being back for real. Like, a lot of that along the lines was like the Lucy's. Oh, you're still doing records. Oh, good. Good for you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I love that common stuff. Yeah.
No, no. But now you're in the fold.
Now I'm... Oh, and then Jay comes out there, and then I just do the Def Autotune beat, and then bow, you know. And now it's like, how did you get back in front of the line? Because
it was the rightful place for you to be. But it's rare that someone jumps back in.
But it was a journey. That's what I'm saying. Right. Like, I appreciate every step of the journey because it taught me what I would have should have known before I started. And but I knew everything that I knew.
At this point.
It's cheating. Like, I know how to do young records. I know how to do older records. I know how to do classic records. I know how to do trendy records. And I know the effect that making certain records has on your career as a whole. So now I'm looking at it as a brand. I'm studying brands. And I'm like, hey, man, this is, like, deeper than a beat. This is, like, a whole nother thing. Now I'm looking at it like Rick Rubin, Tom Dowd, Quincy Jones perspective. I want a career now. I want a 50-year career in music now. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I literally look up and I realize, like, everybody that was there when I started is fell into Lucy territory. Like, just loose records. And not really. And I'm like, yo, I beat the odds.
Did you? You were in such a great position to completely fall off.
Yes.
and much like other producers I know who are very talented, you have this is just being honest, and you have a personality that easily wants to walk away from the light.
Yeah.
So all of those things, this could have all gone a very different way.
Oh, yeah.
But ultimately, the perseverance and the talent really paid off, and being a good dude.
Yeah.
But where did the common relationship end up?
So we see each other in Hawaii. It's like, yo.
Wait. You're at just like a compound, like a studio compound that you've been invited to, but now you're holding it down there.
No. We're in Hawaii at the studio working on Kanye.
And Common's there to work with Kanye.
Yes. He comes out to work with Kanye.
Because him and Kanye had made it, they'd already done the records together. Right.
Yes. So now it's like, hey. But it's a little different. Hey.
Yeah. We're all back. We're all here. And then here we are. And now what are you, president of Def Jam?
Nah, like this time I'm president of Good Music.
No, what are you now?
I'm right on mine right now?
Yeah.
Executive Vice President.
My bad.
Yeah. I don't know what any of these titles mean.
You got titles, though.
Hey, man. No, I don't know.
So I got to tell you, the No ID story turned out to be a very inspirational one. This is a very, it's an amazing story.
I'm doing the book.
Nah,
I'm doing
let us rock out with the one episode.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. Yo, that you should. I mean, this is quite a journey, like that you've been on.
Yeah.
And now, really quickly, we gotta let you go. I know you have meetings while you're in New York, and I gotta see if the radio station exploded.
Okay.
But what do you do most day to day? I mean, I know like guys like Logic, you anchored his entire project. You've been a mentor to him musically, mentally. Him and I have talked about that at length. But what is your role, kind of, you know, day to day with the artists at Def Jam?
It's, you know, I'm trying to take everything I know now, and you know, my goal is to redo major labels now. Like, inspire major labels to think like independent labels. And that's across the board. I'm at Def Jam because I feel like that's where it needs to start. Like, I know what Rick thought. I know what Russell thought. I talked to them. I know how it's been all these years. And I've been on this journey. I know what this is, and I know what it meant for me as a kid. So when I see these kids, it's a lot of times where I pass up working with big artists because I want to give this information to these new kids. I want somebody to take the mantles and keep going. So a lot of it is not me trying to produce their records and be, you know, all of that. You know, a lot of it is me just trying to share the inspiration, the stories, the information, and let them do the exact same thing to inspire another generation. Because I can't take what's going on in my city. Like, my parents are still there. I cannot take it. I gotta help another generation have this out. You know, I have to. So that's what I do. I go in that office. I literally go in the office. I go in there and I work and I go in these meetings and I take it serious and I'm not in there playing around. You know, I'm in there trying to really fight. You know, I love this year we put Crit out. Mm. We put Logic out. We had Janae out. We had August out. We did Iggy. Like, we're covering all these bases.
A lot of new artists, all varieties.
And next year, I want 10 new people. I want
in the spectrum of everything that's
going on. And covering all the bases, right? From the biggest to the most pure underground thing to the most commercial to the, because I, you know, that's the era. Mm-hmm. I'm from the era where Big Daddy Kane and LL was singing on their records and had a house record and it's so true. And was killing you.
Yeah. Yo, by the way, speaking of house records,
yeah.
Did you guys make a play by any chance? You don't have to say if you don't want to say on the air, but did you guys make a play for Vic Mensa by any chance?
Did we make a play?
Yeah. Has it been a conversation? I feel like that record is...
No, Vic, alright.
He has a situation?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's not out there. That's not out there.
I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. But, you know, I've always known him. I speak to him.
So you're still really in touch with the Chicago scene in general?
Yeah.
Chance and Save Money and all these guys.
Yeah, I've talked to all of them. All of them. Go see him myself. You know, I don't... You know, and some of them, you know, it's tough. That's a tough one because sometimes what I've created for myself in a brand, it's hard for me to not get in the way of people building their brands. And that sometimes stands in the middle of us.
But you did it just right with Logic.
Yeah, but that's just one of those situations.
That worked. Right. We're like, you know, I know you're involved.
Yeah.
There's a cosign. We know that's there.
Yeah.
But your presence isn't in your face.
Yeah.
He's on his own.
It's tougher with Chicago because... Chicago.
It's expectations.
No ID. Kanye West. You know, when it's not in your home, because then it's like, oh, they put you on.
Right. It's a totally different thing. Oh, you lucked out. You got with no ID.
Yeah. You know, they got that same spirit we got. They want
to... Competition.
They want to build their legacy.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, but I try and help in every way I can, regardless of that, you know, and hopefully that's why I want to help build up Def Jam, because Def Jam is not no ID. You know what I mean? And if we could turn that into these opportunities for these kids the way it was before, then I think the book will look pretty good.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, what a treat. No ID. It's also, thank I realize, part of Def Jam 30. Our continued celebration with Def Jam 30 coming up in that series. I'll tell our One Epstein listeners, we will be sitting down with Lior Cohen soon for One Epstein. So we will continue on with that. Saif will have to be involved in part two.
I can't believe he was missing the whole episode.
I can't not say Vince Staples, my fault.
Oh, young Vince, of course.
Yeah,
phenomenal. Also Def Jam as well.
That's your man.
That's my guy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
No ID.
All right.